Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey. There won't be any need of the Bible today on Saturday's exposure. Yes, uncut. You know, over the years in ministry, I have been confronted with dilemmas, and dilemmas that I have tried to work through my mind, because when I first became a Christian way back, and you've heard me say it so many times you can repeat it for me, way back in 1967, I've been a believer. And so much has happened over the years. And I have in the studio here just tons and tons of information that I've documented over the years. And I have a just stacks of 3x5 floppies, because back in the day when computers first came out, we didn't have all these kind of external hard drives the way we have now, and iPods and pads and MP3 and MP4 players and all that. And I recall when Kevin Nash of KJLH was in my studio here a few weeks ago, he told me, he said, you need to upgrade all your equipment because all this stuff is taking up too much space, and you can get two devices and put all that stuff there and have that. Well, that's what I want to do, so I can clear out all this stuff. But I have tons and tons of information and things that I feel obligated that I want to share with you, the listening audience, over the next few years that I have, if I have time left on my slate in my life. And so that's what I want to do. What I'd like to do on this Saturday's offering is share with you a letter that a female member of the congregation, if you will, wrote. And this piece is called Members of the Board. And this letter was written on May the 18th, 1990. And of course, I was a part of the board, and I'll let you know how that Sunday ended for me. But I want to share this letter with you. I'm not going to give you the person's name who wrote the letter, because that's not important. But what I will do is I will mention the board members' names, who was on the board. And this is to warn you that, and because personally, I don't believe that these people have ever changed in their modus operandi. I was operating with these people in ministry because I was under the influence of what the influence many people are under as a look at people that name the name of Christ. Let me give you the background setting. When I was the senior teacher of Living by the Word Community Bible Church, I was located in Ladera Heights. We were meeting at a grammar school on Corning, the end of Corning and something. That's so that you can get your bearing. And I was a senior pastor. I had merged with Charlton Davis, Eugene Taylor, and Joshua Jamerson. They were the other three pastors. This was after a little bit after my departure at Olivet. I departed Olivet Baptist in, this will really give some historical content to who I am, John Coleman as a person. I departed Olivet in February of 1997. And now I had formulated through Mark Ramsey. Mark Ramsey came up with the name of the church, Living by the Word, because we were talking about, well, you know, how are we going to do ministry since the church is going corrupt? Well, we're going to live by the word. And I had people around me. As usual, my name has never been on money. I didn't put people on money and anything like that. And I had come up with a lofty idea because I had already gone through the book of Acts at the vet. You can hear some of my treatise on the book of Acts. And I said, I think this would be a good book since we're all supposed to be pastors, right? Joshua Jamerson came out of the Church of God in Christ. Charlton Davis was a disciple of Fred Price. And Eugene Taylor, I don't know what he was a part of. But as I read this letter to the members of the board, I think that you will understand who he was. Now, I don't know what these men are today. I don't even know whether they're still alive. I think Davis is still alive. I've seen some of his clips on YouTube or whatnot. And as far as I'm concerned, he's doing the same thing that he's always done. He's the same person. It's like I'm the same person that I've always been. What I did do in the past is I did warn people that got with me in ministry because, you know, I told them, I said, just because of my theological credentials from Talbot Theological Seminary and my giftedness to speak at a microphone and to speak for hours on end without losing focus, it doesn't necessarily mean that you guys need to be with me. But I think in ministry, people have always seen where the true Christian is kind of like, how can I put it? Persuaded by the word of God and by the man of God who is going to teach them the word of God without fooling them in any way. And I've never been a false teacher. I don't know how to be that. God called me to be a true teacher of what he has had me trained in, and that is what I teach. I only teach what I know to be true. So I gather these people around me because they said, we all believe in what you believe in. This is what they told me. We all believe in what you believe in, and there's going to be four of us pastors. I've given you their names, and we're going to come together, and we're going to take from each of those ministries that we come out of where people were taken advantage of by these fake and false teachers, since we have a background in what these people are coming out of, we will guide them as you remain the senior pastor in teaching the truth. Seemed like a beautiful idea to me. I just knew that it was going to work. It was going to be something fantastic. I said, wow, look at this. God has merged me with all these guys coming forward. And it was while I was at this ministry that the infamous Milford Talbot became aware of me, because now keep it in mind, I was on the radio at this time. I was on the radio. I had established my own radio ministry, and I guess folk were impressed by that. I don't know why. That's just what I do. But anyhow, I'd like to read this letter to you. And I'm not going to give you the name of the person that wrote the letter because it's not important. But I do recall that the members of the board, and that's what I'm going to call this thing for this Saturday exposure uncut, because that's what my Saturdays are going to be. I'm going to have to look up some of this stuff and expose you to it, to educate you to it. And I think this is a good premiere for the Saturday cast to show you how you're supposed to respond when something negative happens in the church. Dear members of the board, this letter is to express my consternation at what was presented during the message portion of the worship meeting of our fellowship last Sunday morning, May 16th, 1999. This is a member of the church, and members of the church were always granted permission to speak their mind. They say that a sermon in which the Word of God was supposed to be taught and preached was anticipated. However, instead, what followed was an infusion of innuendo and clouded accusations. And then this person says the audio and videotape recordings of that event speak for themselves, because at that time we made audio tapes and videotapes. I have no idea what happened to either of those tapes because I was not in charge of that rendering at the time. Then this person says, at the end of Eugene Taylor's pointless delivery to the congregation, this person says, Charlton Davis gave his blessings and affirmation. After being invited to make a comment, Joshua Jamerson sadly, or thankfully, I can't decide which, remained silent, as did you gentlemen who were present. Now, you have to understand, after this fiasco took place, I immediately grabbed my Bible and got up and left the room, and I said, well, there's no reason for me to remain here, because I've always taught people, if you go to a place of worship and you don't hear the Word of God, you need to get up and walk the hell out. And that's what I did. And obviously, this was a planned agenda by Charlton Davis and Eugene Peterson. I don't think it was at the behest of Joshua Jamerson to take over the church, because they knew that a man like me would not remain there. If you're following any of these people, and I'm not talking about Joshua Jamerson, because I haven't spoken to him since that time, and he has my number. My home number has not changed over all those years. Even after I produce his webcast and it is put out, they can call me, but they won't. They won't. They know better than to call me. I'm sharing this with you people out there so that you will know not only what my journey is about, but about what the fake wannabe preachers are all about. Then this person goes on in the letter and says, I took issue with Eugene on several points. Point number one, the pulpit is not the forum for matters such as these, and therefore Eugene acted inappropriately. Goes on and says that a congregational meeting should have been called since he believed it was time to bring it to the church only after the elder board met with the two pastors to deal with their issues. I sadly declare that Eugene resorted to behavior far below that of one holding the title of a pastor. What it was is I gave the pastors this thing. Since you're pastors, I told them, you're supposed to know the Word of God. So we're going to go verse by verse through the book of Acts. Each of us will be given a portion of scriptures to exegete and to bring the proper exegesis to the congregation, and that these people under my tutelage has never been taken through the book of Acts. Since you are all pastors of wit, I don't know who ordained you, who affirmed you as being a pastor. I would expect you to be able to. This was my read. I would expect you to be able to properly exegete the text and to do it in a manner. And therefore, I will be the first to start off. And I would expect each of you, since each of us has a Sunday in the month to preach, to continuously preach this until we've gone through the whole book. And we will go verse by verse expositionally to teach the people of God. Now, I thought that a great idea, because especially since we're going to build this multicultural four-pastor church, and it appears that I was the only one that had an official theological education. So I deemed it important to start this off. Now, point number two that this person wrote, and let me make this perfectly clear because I want to read it right. Point number two says, I reminded Eugene that only the day before, during a prayer meeting which took place at his home, that he had asked for prayer regarding his message, mentioning that there was an element of divisiveness in our fellowship. attempting to better understand what Eugene meant at this time, this particular member asked him specifically if he perceived this problem coming from the congregation. His response to me was, yes. Personally, I did not have this person right. Personally, I did not have the same perception. In other words, he thought that the congregation was against him. You have to understand, the congregation had been bred on the pure word of God, not on mysticism or whatever it was he was trying to present. And of course, when he has this meeting at his house, that's what they do. They have these private meetings to air their differences and everything, and that's how they control you with the dialectic. But what these idiots didn't know is that I had trained the people that had studied under my tutelage to beware of this kind of foolishness. So inappropriately, that has been carried on. All right. So you're following me thus far, and I want you to pay attention. This person says, I asked him specifically if he perceived the problem coming from the congregation. His response to me was yes. And then this person says, I did not have the same perception. However, he prefaced both Sunday's request and Sunday's delivery with how his sentiments went unheeded when the Ladera and Living by the Word Fellowship came together, and he expressed that the pastors should date for a while rather than sanction emerge permanently. In other words, he was saying, date, no, there's no dating process. I never believe in a dating process. Do you adhere to the Word of God? Yes. Well, you're going to teach the Word of God, right? Yes. And that's all you're going to teach, right? Yes. Well, let's get it on. So he also brought up, now this is what Eugene Taylor brought up in this letter that this person, he also brought up cliques and pimp pastors inferring that they were amongst us. Eugene is a cryptic cloak and dagger fashion was pointing the finger at congregation, but at the same time, he couldn't make a flat out public accusation against Pastor John, which amounts to confusion. See, what he does is he raises the situation, but he didn't come out and say it. And I want to share this with you, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody can bring an accusation against a man of God unless they're willing to bring that accusation publicly to his face. And I've already been confronted by that with many churches, or many people in church. Church people are that. Church people are worse than sinners at times, because when they lie and they try to contrive their foolishness, it is a contrived foolishness. Now, this person says, now I take issue with you gentlemen, talking about the board, on the following concerning this situation. Number one, what were the members of the board doing to control the situation? Then this person says, as I stated above, Eugene shared with me that the issue that he had was not new and that he had attempted to address them before. And how did this get out of hand? Now, what this person doesn't know that's writing the letter is that I was approached by some pastor that, and I won't tell you who the pastor is because I can be sued for libel, but I was approached by one of the pastors and said that he thought that the congregation should pay for his new house that he bought. Now, at the time that this fellowship was put together, I was a pastor and I had a group of individuals that were attending my home fellowship. And these people, most of these people came with me when I came out of Olivet and were supportive of me. And I'm paying taxes on the money. I'd never gotten any tax-free money. Didn't do that. I pay taxes on everything that I earned professionally as a pastor. I deemed that important, because the people that I pastored were paying taxes to the government, and I could not see why, since I was affiliated with a nonprofit organization, and I could have signed a wager that a pastor doesn't have to pay taxes, but I've never been that kind of a person. That is who I am and what I do. Point number two, we're talking about the gentleman of the board making the following concerning the situation. From all that Eugene shared with me, I could only gather that he had a personal peeve with the practices and procedures in the administration of resources entrusted to his fellowship. Why is this so? Has there ever been agreement on the distribution and allocation of funds? See what I'm talking about? Because there never has been that. And then this person says, Eugene also told me that the pastors never had a chance to review a copy of the church bylaws before they were sent to the state, rendering them without voice of change, anything with which they had contention. Now, you have to keep in mind, I didn't even know that these meetings of this man with these people were going on and that these discussions were being had, because I would have immediately resigned in and said, you jigaboos can have this joke of a thing called a church. And my goodness, to follow the history of that organization after I left it is enough to give you a headache. It is. Person goes on in part three of this thing. And they say, we, the congregation, had no part of this situation up to this point. Yet, we were dragged into this mess. Now, you know what that means. That meant that when this pimp brought this up to these people, because I wouldn't address it at all. I recall, I said, I'm an ordained pastor. I know who ordained me. I have paperwork on it. The state knows it. Into the Word Apologetics is mine. My name is on there. It belongs to me. I don't know what you're talking about. If you think that the people owes you some money, then you need to go to the people and tell them. But you came over here to be a pastor, to minister to the people, not to get money. And I've always said that that is the way it's done. Now, I had been a pastor for years. These were the parishioners that I brought in over. People were coming to the church through the radio ministry that I was paying for, that I was sponsoring. And so I was doing the work. And now this person wants somebody to pay for his house, whatever that is all about. I've never had the privilege of living in a new house. And I think that that's what a lot of people think that they become pastors for. Well, Pastor John's getting some money, so I can give me some money too. Oh, no, buddy, you got that wrong. I ain't getting that much money, you know that. And you've been to my house. It's just a little bungalow that me and my wife at this time is living in. And thank God for that, that she had a roof over her head when she parted this life. But I never asked for somebody to help me pay for a new house. I just wouldn't. Now, this letter goes on. Now, we are owed an explanation by you gentlemen, talking about the board, as to how all this came about. You have called upon Sister, I won't give her name, Sister Blankety Blank, to contact all the congregants and entreat them to return to worship God once again next Sunday at a special service. It is ridiculous to think that last Sunday's event that we were expected to dutifully return bright and early to this church as if nothing happened. In other words, they had somebody in the congregation, and this is unbeknown to me, people, because the people didn't tell me nothing. Unbeknown to me, they're calling everybody, come to church, there's going to be a special church meeting. Didn't nobody inform the senior teacher of that? Didn't inform me 1 minute. That's the kind of people these people are. And let me say this right now. Joshua Jamerson in no way was involved in that. He was silent. And I think that's Joshua's biggest problem as a pastor. You can't be silent. You got to take a stand one way or the other. Last paragraph of the letter says, this is all I can manage to communicate without allowing my fury to be fully expressed. And here's a person that was giving monies to this ministry and the like. And then they said, if you are truly interested in us continuing to fellowship together. A congregational meeting, not a church service, must be called by the board of directors and pastors to offer a full explanation for this outrageous behavior and what will be done to ensure that it never occurs again. I understand this is an elder church, but it does not relinquish your responsibility to account for the foolishness that took place on Sunday. Signed, Your Servant in Christ, and it was given a CC to Pastor John Coleman, Charlton Davis, Joshua Jamerson, and Eugene Taylor. The board members were Brian Allen, Daryl Fulton, Ralph Fulton, and Darrell Hackett. And I'm going to tell you, after that Sunday when Eugene picked up his 7 pieces of blank paper and said, "This is all the exegesis that I could come up with." See, that was to get me out of the room, because he knew that I said, the minute any foolishness starts in this ministry, I am out of here. I've always been that way. Any foolishness, anything like that, and I'm, because my name is on the list of this letter. And I knew nothing, absolutely nothing of this stuff until after I got up and walked out. And of course, this person, needless to say, contacted me and told me about the meeting that they attended when he brought this forth without even discussing it with me. Now, let me share this with you people, because we're calling these Saturday Exposures Uncut. I'm a name caller because Paul called names in the first century. The churches that you're in, that you're attending, the same kind of bull crap takes place. Most of the time, these people call themselves elders, board members, and all that. Gosh, the most disgusting behavior. I have tried over the years to be independent of such behavior. The talking, the phone calls. Church people do that in a minute. Church people, just like the world, call behind your back, make innuendos, statements and everything. Well, let me tell you what I know and blah, 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 blah. If anybody ever calls me, I would say, listen, did you call this person that you're speaking about? No. Well, you need to call them. What are you calling me for? Well, I thought that you should know. Shut up. You don't think anything for me. Don't call me. Matter of fact, the person that wrote this letter don't even know that I'm reading it on a webcast, because since they sent it to me, it's public property. Now, I can make these statements. I'm not trying to warn you against these men. If you're following these men, wherever they are and whatever they're doing, may God help you. May God help you. Because when this thing was brought forth, you know how come the men didn't say anything? The other pastors, except for Joshua? They knew that that was wrong. Joshua knew it was wrong, but he wasn't a part of it, because Joshua was the one that told me to merge this church thing. Joshua came to me, I'll never forget, the godly man if I ever met one, just a tall guy, over 6 feet tall, fine spirit, comes out of the Church of God in Christ, and he was a long member of the Cojigs, and one of the preachers in that church. And Joshua approached me, I'll never forget, after I had to resign my radio ministry, and then I was booted out of Olivet. He called me in my office here in my home, and I told him, sure, you can come by. I didn't know the guy, and he came by, and he looked at me. I'll never forget the look on his face, and he said, John Coleman, now we can talk. Now we can talk. You have to know Joshua Jamerson to have known his personality. He was very transparent right up front. And he said, you're the man that came on the radio telling the truth, believing that the church believed in you, weren't you? He said, God told me. See, God told Joshua that John Coleman is a man. I guess my greatest sin and being in the church, is that I was naive. And Joshua knew that I was naive because I loved tremendously. And in loving tremendously like that, you become naive to what people's real motives are. And so Joshua came to me, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, now we can really do church the way it was supposed to be done. And I said, what do you mean by that statement? And I'll never forget the meeting with me, because I just kept tearing up because I was broken by what Olivet did to me. But he said, now you can drop that Baptist thing. And I said, no, man, you know I'm not going to become a charismatic and start talking in tongues. I said, because you're from the Kojic. He said, no, I'm not talking that. He said, John, I'm talking about real Christianity. We can do it now because we both have gone through that and we see it. That's what Joshua was sharing with me. And if any of you hear from where Joshua Jamerson is, I'd really love for you to get in touch with him and tell him that I just love to speak with him again. Go out and have dinner with him. That smile he had, the way he laughed. He had a very well-known family in the Church of God in Christ, the Jamerson family in the Church of God in Christ, very well-known, especially here in the Los Angeles area. And Joshua was a very good Bible teacher, very good Bible teacher. So we hit it off that day when he came to my house, and it was like an experience that I had not had in a long time with another man of God. But like this person said in the letter, Joshua didn't give his approval to that because Joshua knew that I didn't know anything about it. He knew I didn't know anything about it. He knew what these men were doing. But I was naive because they all approached me and said, we all came out of those corrupt churches and we want to start the right kind of church with people. And us four guys getting together, the same line that Milford Talbot gave me when he came on board. And Milford Talbot came out of the AME church, African Methodist. No, the, not AME. Yes, the AME, the African Methodist Episcopal Church. That's what Talbot came out of. And that's why he had in mind to make our church an Episcopal government, where the elders would rule. And I said, I don't mind what Episcopal means, but I said, the way that would work in the black community, I saw what Baptist thing did to the black community, let alone any kind of Episcopal organization, posed a kind of a problem to me. But for the sake to see whether this thing here, again, I'm naive. I'm thinking that, well, you know, if Christ is there, it's going to work. But you have to understand, you can't be naive with people in religion because these people have ulterior motives. They're looking at dollar signs. It doesn't make any difference whether you call it Reformed, Arminian, whatever you want to call it. If you do not discover, if you are to the sin of naivete, if you do not discover the motive of a person, don't meet up with that person. And I've realized that all throughout my history in church that people have had undisclosed motives for why they're doing what they're doing. And what it was important for me to do is to find out what those motives are. But they lied to me. I'll never forget in this little church where these four pastors were, we would go, I think, once a month. We would meet out at a restaurant for breakfast outside of the city of L.A. We would try to meet in a neutral place because we, all four pastors, I think Joshua was coming from Pasadena. Eugene Taylor was coming from, I don't know where he was coming from. And Charlton Davis at that time lived in Ladera Heights. And I'm next to Ladera Heights here in Los Angeles. And so to make it fair, we would drive to a place neutral, where one person wouldn't have to spend all of his gas, and we did that. And we had these meetings on Saturday morning, once a month, so that the pastors could meet and have a discussion about how the church is going. And I recall when I would go to the meetings, and I would say, brethren, before we have the meetings, and if any of you guys that were sitting around that table at those meetings, recall what I would say to you. I would say, excuse me, brother, which one of you guys want to be the senior teacher of this ministry? Which one of you guys wants the ministry, the senior teaching position, so you can have the money that the people are giving me for starting this ministry and doing this? Because you need to tell me right now that you desire that. And I will step aside immediately. Now, I meant that because I've never been a money whore. I can't stand that in ministry. Guess what they always say? Oh, no, no, no. And I would look at each of them. Eugene, you, oh, no, no, you're the senior. Charlton, oh, no, Pastor John, you're the radio minister. Joshua would say, John, you know me. Joshua would just look at me and smile. No, my brother. God has called you, not me, for that. I am to assist you and to help you as a people from the Kojed come out of that darkness and come into the marvelous light of God's word. Joshua, good man. And if I would hear in my latter years anything negative about Joshua Jamerson, it would be surprising to me. And the only reason that Joshua never confronted me about it, because Joshua, my sin was a sin of being naive. His sin was a sin of being weak when it came to speaking up the way he had to. See, each of us have our downfalls. And it's important for you to know that pastors do have their downfalls. Those other guys, I don't know what their motives are or were, but you can only tell by the tree, by the fruit it bears. I think that another thing, once I had those guys with me, of course, once a month, I would have the pastoral. The pastors would come on the radio with me. That was another naive mistake that I made. When you give men a platform that didn't deserve it, especially uneducated, ignorant black men that do not know the value of working and producing something out of their own minds and hearts, but riding on another brother's coattail only to crawdad him in the midst. This is the worst kind of disgusting behavior that comes from an individual calling himself a pastor. You have to understand this. Now, remember what Saturdays are going to be. Saturdays, we're going to have these exposure conversations. We're going to talk about these things because you need to know that the same bullcrap happens wherever you live. If you're a member of a black organization in a church, ask your pastor to listen to this webcast and ask your pastor if this is not the God-honest truth. If he's truly a man of God, he would say, Pastor John just told you the truth. And that pastor would say, I trust no man but myself. See, I don't even know who's called to God or anything. Start your thing. Let God propagate you. Let God promote you, because I'm not. I'm not promoting you. There's so much corruption in the church today. Just dire corruption. I have to share with you what God has been saying to my heart lately. God has been saying to my heart, have nothing to do with that. Nothing. Because, friends, if your motivation ain't right, the whole conclusion is going to be wrong. I don't care if you are mentioning the name of Jesus. There's so much that God wants to show each and every one of us on an individual basis about who he is to his own. We must allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak to each of our lone individual hearts without the interference of shenanigans. Any pastor that would listen to this webcast and tell you that I'm out of my mind, I'm just jealous because I don't have. You know what? Often I tell people this, and I really mean this. When I look at these warehouses that these people build and call them churches and fill up these people in it, you know what they do is they fill it up with entertainment. They got it looking like a big stage show. And then the Pied Piper comes out with anything but what's Bible. Start talking about things that appeals to their flesh. And everybody say, oh, wasn't the Lord speaking to the pastor? Lord wasn't even in that place, and you don't even know. I'm not that naive to know when I hear a true message of God. I want to warn you to stay away from people like the ones that I've mentioned. They have different names. They have different motives. They want to use the people for money. What happened is that they had no idea that they had a very observant Christian in their midst. And this observant Christian I know personally today hasn't always made the right decisions in what they're doing, but they were right on when they sent me this letter way back on May 18, 1999. Oh, yes. Sent it to me. What I did is I copied it on a 3x5 floppy and saved it. And since Saturday Exposures Uncut started around May of 2012, I thought that I would premiere this presentation as my premiere Saturday presentation. The beauty. All right. I just wanted to share that with you. And I just want to say that God in his graciousness will continuously give us the wisdom to do what we have to do, to say what we have to say, to be who we are, and to not shadow facts anything. I know, Pastor John, me, I'm a difficult man to follow because I'm going to tell you some things that's going to make you say, dang, is anybody safe around that guy? Sure. You are. God bless you. And whatever you do, stay in the Word.